Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
So, Javier, we have another major championship introduced tonight. Triple H making the earth-shattering, ground-shaking announcement that Roman Reigns doesn't defend the title often enough, so they need another world title. And the first champion will be crowned in Saudi Arabia. How do you feel about this, Javier?
I feel like someone needs to check up on Todd.
I know.
Make sure he's okay.
Yes, I was thinking that too.
Yeah, I originally was like the idea of two belts, but I think they've done such a good job with Roman Reigns just having the one championship and elevating the other two titles, the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title, that I don't like it. I don't like it. Plus this, it also undercuts Cody's journey, because Cody's journey should now be to get another shot at Roman at WrestleMania. But now, they're calling it the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, which is the title that he wants. So directly, I don't think they're necessarily going to give it, he's going to be the first one to hold it necessarily. You know, it'll still be more of a journey. Maybe he wins the Royal Rumble, gets to choose, and still decides to go after Roman because, he needs to redeem himself. But, all that aside, it's like now it doesn't feel like as big of a journey because now you got a choice too.
Yeah. Brandon LeClaire, frequent co-host here with me on the post shows, and he writes for PWTorch.com. He goes, I get the pluses of having another world title. This is on Twitter. I get the pluses of having another world title now that Reigns is a part-timer, but man, do the negatives win out here. Roman's dominance instantly feels less important, and this new title is an obvious consolation prize. Awful timing. However, we did run a poll, Javier, on Twitter. Instant poll here. Let me get an update here. 650 plus votes in. 38% say big thumbs up. 20% mild thumbs up. So 58% thumbs up. Mild thumbs down, 13%. Big thumbs down, 29%. And I believe you're only allowed to vote once, so that was not all Todd Martin. 58%. Like the move, most enthusiastically so, but it is a polarizing issue because, you got 38% big thumbs up, 30% big thumbs down. This is a divisive topic. And, I'm kind of with you. I used to kind of see the point in it. I think that there's various factors here, but whatever pluses there are about having a defending champion, and certainly Seth Rollins made the case for it. It's going to be a champion you're going to be proud of, a fighting champion and all that. That's the pitch they make about every week about the Intercontinental title. And that's what the U.S. title was supposed to be. And that's what made the Undisputed Unified Championship mean something, is it isn't defended all that often. And that's fine. It really is. Like, people have gotten used to it. It makes Reigns' appearance feel important. This is inflation. This is printing extra money to solve an economic problem. And it makes everything feel less, all the other belts feel less important. The U.S. title and IC title just instantly felt less important. I think Roman Reigns' title will still feel important. Not as important, but still important. I think this does damage to that title. But also, it shouldn't be left out. It diminishes the specialness of the U.S. and IC champ. It makes those wrestlers feel like, they're fighting for something much less than it felt like just a few hours ago.
Yeah, the only way I really could see it work is if you had the hard and fast brand split, which we haven't had, recently. I'm assuming that with the draft we are going to get that, at least for a while. And they do have more, they do have more of a bench now. So they do have more people. But you really need to start – if you're essentially having two shows that are the same, like, vision and the same look – you're still going to have that dissonance of they're not really two different brands. It's just WWE, and some wrestlers wrestle on one and some wrestlers wrestle on the other. You kind of really need to like change the look or change the feel of one of them. So you basically need to make it feel like it's two different promotions for it to really work. You know, so, but yeah, so, I mean, like I said, I used to be a lot more fine. If you're going to have a Rust or Spirit, two titles is fine. But with what they've done lately, I kind of like what they've done. You still kind of had, you know, rosters for each brand with, like, the big story crossing over. I think they handled that very well. Yeah, so I don't think, and now in the middle of that storyline, all these storylines you're telling, and they didn't even address the tag team titles. So,
no.
You know, are they going to also, you know, are they going to have, are they going to separate those two? They didn't mention that. And that makes that feud feel less important too. So,
the rationale for having a second men's singles title was that Roman negotiated a special deal because he has clout and he doesn't, you know, Hunter's like, I would have done the same thing, negotiate a good deal. But that's not the case with the tag titles. You know, tag titles are being defended on SmackDown, and the Usos have been on both shows. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn don't seem like the champions who, now that they're champions, aren't going to be willing to float to both shows and defend it often. So that rationale isn't there, but it, you know, we thought they were headed towards Bianca and Rhea perhaps in a unification match, and now it seems like something else is going to go on there where one of them drops the belt or gets stripped of the belt and then gets wrapped to the other brand. Or maybe they do merge the titles on Raw or SmackDown, and then Triple H comes out and just introduces a new belt with some other explanation for it. But, I mean, you can't call Roman Reigns' title the undisputed WWE Universal Champion anymore. Like, I mean, you can because it's the only title that's the WWE Universal Championship, and so we can't dispute that. But certainly undisputed tends to mean this is the sole world champion and something much, you know, it's, yeah. I mean, you're right. The only way that this doesn't, the only way this becomes somewhat palatable, and there's going to be a downside to it, but the best case scenario is that they really do work hard to separate the two brands so it seems appropriate that there's a world champion on each brand. But then you are stuck with, let's say, Roman Reigns on SmackDown, a world champion who doesn't defend very often. And so you haven't really solved the entirety of the issue if the idea is they need to have a world champion who defends a lot, because you're still going to have one of the shows where you've now advertised that the champion is part-time and doesn't defend very often. So that just seems to exacerbate the issue a bit.
Yeah, because before you had the option of him chances showing up on either of the two shows, now you've cut that in half. So
yeah. Well, I'm curious. I want to hear the backstory on whose call this was and when it was made and if it factored into Cody not beating Roman at WrestleMania or not, and where we're headed. If they keep the title on Reigns, even though he's going to be appearing less frequently than ever and only defending on big shows, It's like that title just is something. It's not even a parallel title to the, like, if he stays on SmackDown, that's a SmackDown world champion, and then there's the Raw world champion that Triple H introduced tonight. If that's how it works out, what is the, like, does Roman's title, in his infrequent title matches, still have some special cachet because it's defended less often? I mean, I'm still trying to work through the different ways that they can portray this and how ultimately there might be a way where, you know, the Universal title is diminished but still feels special. And, I mean, if he doesn't defend very often and it's always in the main event spot, it's just it makes the new title feel in some ways more than, because it's a champ who defends all the time, but less than because it doesn't main event the really big pay-per-view. So it's a thumbs down for me, but I hope that they've thought this through and mitigate the negatives as much as possible post-draft. And I guess I just throw my hands up and say we'll kind of wait for that. I mean, you know, if most fans are in favor of it, I mean, that factors in if our poll is reflected to the audience. I mean, it's not a disaster on the face of it, although, you know, fans don't always know what's best for them. You know, I mean, they want a dream match right away. They don't want delayed gratification. It's natural. That's kind of the give and take of the promoter. You know, you want delayed gratification. You want to build a big moment. And fans would just be like, yeah, give me the match tonight. They're not thinking like a promoter when they talk about what they want. And therefore, polls like that can lead a promotion in the wrong direction too, at least when it comes to drawing money ultimately.
Yeah, and I know, like, you know, Todd looks at things through the business point of view. I tend to look at things more through the story line point of view, and I think in both cases it's not for the best.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's we got a lot of emails on this, by the way. So let's pause and introduce the show briefly, and then we'll get to some of those emails and some calls. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Monday, April 24th, 2023. And I'm Wade Keller, the host of the show, the editor, publisher, founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter, the website pwtorch.com, and the host of various podcasts, some VIP exclusive, many of them free. You can get information on the VIP lineup at pwtorch.com/govip. That includes about 35 years of archives of my coverage and the whole team at the Torch's coverage of wrestling in retro radio show format, podcast format, back issues of the newsletter, and tons of archived articles on our ad-free VIP exclusive website. So check out details if that interests you. The other voice you hear on today's show is Javier Machado. He is a PW Torch contributor. He is a frequent co-host and at other times calls in, and we do roundtable segments with him and the other co-hosts. And he writes pay-per-view previews and has done a lot of other things for PW Torch over the years. And it's always good to have him in the co-host chair for the full show. Javier, welcome.
Hey, Wade, years, man. It feels just like yesterday.
You know, when I'm putting up these archive shows, it's fun hearing some of your earlier calls. Do you remember when you first started calling in?
I know it was before COVID. I was actually
least 5 years ago.
Oh, my God. Has it been that long, Wade?
Well, you were on an archive show. It might have – I'm trying to think if there was some reason I thought your first call – was on a recent archive 5 years ago flashback show we posted, because I heard you something about it made me think it might have been the first time you called. So maybe
yeah,
right around 5 years.
It might have been because I hate time and it's inexorable march towards our death. But wow, that's the thing.
Yeah,
I'm sad now.
Well, we're happy. For whatever that's worth.
It's just time, man. It's just time.
I know.
Never gives up.
Time travels in different speeds in different parts of your life. So
yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the phone numbers or the phone number and the email, so our listeners who are unfamiliar with those things can participate if they're live streaming the show. The phone number to call if you want to be part of the show is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 on your keypad. That flags you on the switchboard so that we know that you want to be on the show. Otherwise, you can just call and listen in, which a lot of people do because it's more convenient for them than streaming the show. So whatever works for you can work for us. You can also email us at wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. Wade Keller Podcast at pwtorch.com. We'd love to get your take on the world title. We'd love to get your take on what they did with Bad Bunny tonight, the Cody Rhodes segments, everything else in the show. The Trish Stratus promo, Becky Lynch being MIA because she can't handle the stress of being a mom and a full-time wrestler, which Trish brags that she managed to do. So maybe subtext there, who knows? So, yeah, give us a call or drop us an email. All right, let's get to our first call. It'll be VIP member Chris from Oklahoma on our VIP Express line. Chris, you are up first. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Well, I was really kind of shocked when I saw the world top, the new title, and I'm like, wow, this really puts a damper on, you know, anything going on with, you know, WrestleMania, the ending of WrestleMania, because it – you know, that chase with Cody and Roman, I hope they keep them on the same show, but I'm afraid they won't now. I'm hoping they do, but it really kind of puts a damper on everything. And I was really curious to hear what you thought, and I think you all agree with me. It just seems like it's watered down, and I'm kind of hoping that they get a way around it and with Cody, because really Cody deserves better in my opinion than having a title for his own. How much do you think of it as something that the USA wanted?
Yeah, I get asked that semi-frequently, how involved the networks are in some of these decisions. And I mean, the roster is so blended right now. It's really taking away from the draft. I mean, that they're really focused not on who's, you know, is this wrestler going to have to switch brands? They're really just focusing on, will an existing champion be drafted to a different brand in the case of Roman? And really the point they're hitting most often is our full factions breakup, because there's not a lot of show identity to each of the shows at this point, less than there's been since they went to Fox. Would you agree with that, Javier, that right now the two shows have less of a differentiation than they have since predating the move to Fox?
Yeah, I mean, outside of like the, you know, the champions were their two titles. Yeah, there's been a lot more. There's been a lot of blend. I mean, there are a couple people where you're like, okay, this guy kind of feels like a. If you think about it,
yeah.
This guy feels like a like a SmackDown or a Raw person. But you know, and particularly there towards the end, heading into WrestleMania, there was so much crossover from one to the other. You know, that it got to the, I mean, you know, cause like, for example, the Judgment Day stuff, Mysterio was for a while just a SmackDown person to sell the fact that he's getting away from his son. And then Judgment Day started showing over, but you still had that. But then Rey Mysterio starts showing up on Raw like he does today. So like right now there's like no brand split whatsoever. And yeah, I like the first half of the show was them just talking about like, is this the last time we're going to see the tag team tag together? Is this going to be the last team time we see the faction together? Is, you know, are they going to go, because that's all they had for the first half. And then the second half was all about the new title.
Yeah. Chris, back to you to your question. I do not know if they were involved in this specific decision, but WWE is cognizant of wanting to keep their television partners happy. I spoke on a recent Waykeller Hotline for VIP members against network executives meddling in what WWE does in general. Like Spike TV did that in the TNA days, where sometimes they were a little too hung up on the Monday Night War and encouraged TNA to go in that direction instead of being a true alternative to WWE and creating their own stars and an old kind of a grassroots groundswell for this new alternate company. And so, you know, but when it comes to each show having a world champion, I can imagine USA Network might have been a little anxious to have representation of somebody being portrayed as a co-top star in the company on that show more often than they were getting. And in that sense, I wouldn't blame them for speaking up, or at least, you know, kind of nudging them. But at the same time, what you want is a championship that the wrestlers on your TV show are chasing that feels valuable. And that adds prestige to everything happening on Raw, that they're is a scarcity of title shots and a scarcity of that champion appearing. But when he does, it's a big deal. And they're losing some of that, a big chunk of that with this decision, even though they've laid out there the rationale for it. Chris, I'll throw back to you.
Well, the other thing I was curious about, the whole Sami Zayn KO dynamic with the Usos or not, do you think that's going to lead somewhere where maybe KO does turn his back on Sami because Sami's been trying to convince the Usos that Roman's not good for them? I mean, I find myself siding with KO. I'm like, okay, get over it, dude. It's not going to happen. But I know for the greater good, he's going to try doing his best to do it, you know. So I was curious what y'all's thoughts were on tonight's little seeds being planted and what y'all thought of that.
Javier, I'm intrigued by it. And I think, you know, what I like about the KO and Sammy dynamic is that you can kind of see both of their points of view, and you don't really resent either of them for having it, even if neither is being a great communicator in terms of you know, kind of tolerant communicator and expressing their point of view. Sammy, I can imagine, you know, I get why KO's annoyed at Sammy, but I also get why Sammy feels the way that he does and isn't ready to just let go, considering his history, especially with Jay. What do you think?
Well, and they also played into Kevin Owens being a volatile personality, you know, based on the number of times that he's turned. So I really dug that. I think ultimately him turning on Sammy would be a unsatisfying part of the story. You could do that just to stretch things out, but I think that would be ultimately unsatisfying. I think the Riddles involvement tonight, because if you follow, you know, everything that happened, you had the first you had the segment with Sammy and Jay, where which I love, because Sammy was just, you know, firing bombs at Jay, and they were all landing, and you could see, I mean, Jay is like, I love his understated like change in demeanor, you know, as the words got into him, and he said, give me one second, let me check my notes, so I can get exactly what he said. He said at the end, he says, like it or not, I made my choice like you did. And he wasn't saying you like it or not. He was kind of like referring it to himself that, you know, whether I like it or not, I already made my choice.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that was great. And then you get to the next scene, which is him and Jimmy, and you can see Jay stewing over it. Then you get Jimmy try to turn things on Sammy by calling into question KO's loyalty to him. But then it was Riddle at the end, the idiot savant who nails, you know, says, you know, hey, you know, just, you know, do this, you know, this is my thoughts. And then it seems like Sammy's like, yeah, you know, I have faith in my brother who, while not blood, it's somebody who's going to ultimately have my back whether we win or lose. I think is ultimately what that is. I mean, it could go the other way around, but that would be an unsatisfying, you know, part of that journey.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Chris, back to you. Anything else you want to bring up?
I'm really going to be surprised to see where everyone ends up going on the draft, because I'm just fearful yet hopeful that they keep Cody away from this championship and have a rematch planned for him and Roman coming up. But I'm just fearful that this is going to be his way of getting a championship that I don't want, you know.
Javier, what do you think is going to happen? Let me ask Javier. What's your best guess? Do they save Cody for Roman, or does this become Cody's belt?
I think it really could go either way. Because, I mean, just the fact they called it the heavyweight title, I think it might be his belt. Because I'm thinking that what they might be setting up is Seth Rollins and Roman. Because that feels more like what, at least towards like the SummerSlam period. Mm-hmm. I could see that you know, Cody then go after the title, because like, if I were to book it, I hate to say that, but like, you know, Cody does go after the heavyweight title because he's like on that brand, and he fails winning either Money in the Bank or the Royal Rumble, and then instead of going after the World Heavyweight Champion, go after Roman because he wants to get back at Roman what he did. But, I mean, this, it really does feel like this is just like, you know, have Cody do his thing. I mean, the other thing you could do is he wins the title and then challenges Roman to reunify the belts at next WrestleMania. But that would be crazy, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to end up doing that.
Yeah. I think Cody winning a title that got created out of whole cloth with no history, that originated in Saudi Arabia, is not anywhere in the vicinity of a proper conclusion to Cody's journey.
Yeah.
And I think Cody has to beat Roman. And if they want to delay it a long time, I think it's worth delaying a long time to have that moment. I don't have faith that they're going to not just go, yep, let's try to eat our cake, but still have our cake.
Yeah.
You know, and Cody gets to be the defending hardworking champion, and, you know, maybe they can rationalize that. Well, they'll cross paths someday, and the story will be Cody needs to validate this title by beating Roman for it or something. But I mean, how many times are they going to merge titles and then split them off again? And, you know, it's frustrating because there's so many downsides to even this being done well, and I fear that they talked themselves into it without fully considering the negatives. But you know what? Maybe they fully thought of the negatives and they're plugging their nose and doing this because they think they need to have a world champion who's around more often, and maybe USA, or maybe they're going to move Reigns to Raw, and they're going to have the fighting champion Cody on SmackDown, and Fox wanted that. I mean, there could be some factors we just don't know about.
I was also wondering if y'all heard that CM Punk was in the building backstage, but was thrown out by management.
Because
I've been hearing
reports
stating
it. Yeah.
There's been reports saying he was thrown out after being in and talking to a few wrestlers but seeing Vince McMahon doing it, making that call. But I was just curious if you've heard that and if it's, you know, there's actually the validity to that or not.
I mean, I think it was PW Insider that reported it. I trust their reporting on this. I have not taken any time to validate or back up the report. So it's not something that I can report, but I have no reason to doubt it. I take issue a little bit with the idea that it was thrown out. That may be the case. That's not my – I just don't know either way. He probably was asked to leave. I just think thrown out sounds rather inflammatory. And my hunch was, you know, when it was time to leave, he was asked to leave and he left. That to me, that's different than being thrown out, you know, like under – it's almost like under protest or physically. So let's be careful with our language.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, and no need to apologize. I just, for the sake of, if I say yes, he got thrown out, that could carry some weight. So I'm just kind of clarifying.
Oh, yeah. I understand.
We want to be sure he was just asked to leave and he left. But if he got thrown out, that's a new story. Like if he literally got thrown out, like by force or by yelling and all that, that becomes more of a new story. I doubt that was the case. I mean, wrestlers do it backstage sometimes, but nobody who's as inflammatory of a figure as Punk in the midst of, you know, stuff going on in AEW, it puts him in the news. I do not have any idea yet how Tony Khan feels about that because he is still on the AEW roster page. He's still under contract. He's been out with an injury, but he hasn't been mentioned on TV since he was stripped of the belt after the backstage fight with the EVPs and the meltdown during the Q&A. And so I'm fascinated, and I will obviously be contacting people to find out their thoughts on what that was all about and how people feel about it on both sides.
Okay. Well, thank you guys, and have a good night. And I want to tell you, I've been trying to catch up on everything on the VIP side, and it is difficult to do, having to do all that listening. But I loved all the content.
Well, thank you, Chris. I mean, we put a lot out there, but you don't have to listen to it all. We understand. It's kind of like,
I want to. There's a lot of stuff that I don't want to listen to, but to catch up on.
Revenge. It's just I appreciate it. It's my revenge for how I feel about Netflix and HBO and all that. It's like I can't catch up on everything I want to watch. So I make the members feel the same way. Frustrated by the abundance. Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying I do appreciate it. I'm excited about my membership because I got so much content I can listen to.
Well, awesome. Chris, I appreciate the kind words and appreciate your call and good topics today. Our number is 347-215-8558. Give us a call. When you call, push 1 if you want to be on the show or email us wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. One of the emails we got, the subject line is, no, not another belt. And it's not from Todd. But first things first, we will go to Brad in Florida, who's up next. Brad, thanks for calling. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, guys. Echoing kind of Chris's sentiments, I really hope that's not the belt that Cody gets. I kind of don't think so, but it seems like a good belt that, like, you know, Austin Theory could get, or Bobby Lashley could get, or, you know, maybe an Omos or whatever. I don't know. But, like, it just doesn't seem to me like it holds the same as has been discussed, you know, the gravitas that the original belts that, you know, Roman has right now with all of the things that have been that he's been through to get those and defend those. To me, it obviously just doesn't hold the same weight. Now maybe years from now that belt will feel very, very important, but right now it seems like another Intercontinental Championship or, you know, even less than the Intercontinental Championship based on what Gunther's doing. I think that the coolest thing that they could do, and based on the way Triple H was speaking, I wouldn't be like totally shocked if they went down this route. But have Roman go after that belt and win it. I think that would be, I mean, I could imagine that Night of Champions, you know, there's a surprise entrant into the tournament or whatever they end up doing. And it's Roman Reigns and he wins that belt. And I think that immediately gives it the prestige that it needs. I mean, you know, maybe at Money. See, I always thought Money in the Bank could, even last year, could be the mechanism to get one of the belts off of Roman very easily, with, you know, the rule that you can only challenge for one belt if you win Money in the Bank. And then all of a sudden Money in the Bank turned into the undisputed championship that you'd be challenging for. And there's just been so many instances of that. Even weird things, I'm sure you guys remember, with the tag team championships when they were essentially unified with the Usos, when there was a match on SmackDown. And honestly, I really even forget who it was against, but where the Usos defended only the SmackDown tag team championships. It was about maybe three or four months ago. Like, they never did that with Roman's belts, ever. Maybe because it would be too predictable that he would lose, or I don't know why they never did that, but I always thought, you know, Royal Rumble, where, you know, you challenge, you pick the title of your choice to challenge for, or Money in the Bank could be that mechanism. And this, to me, just seems weird. And I'd like your thoughts on, because the way Triple H talked about Roman, you know, finally a fighting champion, finally someone who won't be hiding, finally we can see a title be defended with honor, and whatever he was saying, it might not be those exact words, but it makes me think Roman's going to get that championship, and that would make it important. And I'm not saying just because of Roman and who he is. I'm just saying, like, that would be like, oh, man, now we got to get this title off this guy. How are we going to do this? Like, that would make it – I just can't see any other way that – or any other way that it becomes at that level, and can't see any other reason why Triple H was saying the things about the biggest commodity in WWE that he was saying. I mean, I want your guys' thoughts on that.
Javier, what do you think of what he had to say there?
Yeah, that was one of the things that I'm like scratching my head about is, you know, he was basically calling Reigns a loser, a part-timer, and we're back to that conversation that we had with Brock, where, you know, it didn't make Brock, like, more heelish. It made, like, get the title off of him, you know, because we want to see it defended because he doesn't care about us, you know? And I don't like the idea of planting that idea with Roman Reigns. I mean, you know, he hasn't been around much, but I've mentioned before that, you know, his presence is felt through the rest of the bloodline, that they're always talking about him and, you know, what's he going to think? And that's been a constant, you know, his presence has been, even though he physically hasn't been there, his presence has been felt. It just, you know, so why mess with that? Why say that, oh, you know, we don't need any more part-time champions? Because, like, unless you're really going to change your philosophy, which I don't think that they are, that's what's been drawing for them for a long period of time, bringing back Cena, bringing back all these other people. So why hamstring that? Why hamstring Roman Reigns? I did not like how that was established. You could establish the second belt without saying we're doing this because Roman doesn't want to wrestle.
Yeah, no, I know. And I don't think Roman's going to win the title and then become the, you know, triple crown champion or something like that. Because the whole point of the championship is Roman negotiated a light schedule. So we're creating a championship that's going to be defended more often. So if Reigns won it, would he have to then abide by the new championship 30-day clause, or would him winning it because of his contract status override that, which would lead to the desperation to get the belt off of him and give fans a rallying cry for Cody or Seth to beat him for it? I mean, I can't rule out them telling the story, but what a weird way to go about it, by having a whole separate belt and burying your existing Universal Champion the way that he did.
And if Reigns loses the next time he challenges, isn't that a moot question anyway?
Yes, yes. Exactly. And Reigns, yes, you buried him because, oh, he doesn't defend the title, but it also put him over as having the clout to not have to defend it very often. But to me, it drew attention to something that there's danger in drawing attention to, and I, especially if you don't plan to turn it into an issue. I think it was a one-off way to get people to cheer and be excited for a babyface holding the title and defending it. Especially with, you know, heel and Gunther as heels holding the secondary titles right now, although, you know, Gunther's been a bit of a active champion and Theory hasn't been inactive. So I don't know. Brad, back to you for any follow-up on any of that.
Yeah, I mean, how do you guys think that they go about cracking this champion? Is it a tournament? Is it some sort of briefcase match? I mean, not briefcase match, you know, with a...
Oh, God, I assume... You know what? That's a good question. It's not a champions. I assume there's going to be some sort of tournament, you know, like a one-night tournament, and then we'll get some qualifying matches on TV to determine who's in it. And I would think it would be a Final Four, not a Final Eight. I don't think you want people wrestling three times on it. Kind of has a WrestleMania Four vibe to it in that sense of, you know, a tournament for the championship. But they could give somebody a bye also if somebody earned it. There's a lot of things that they could put in play. Javier, have you thought that through? Do you think was anything implied about that yet?
Well, I mean, it's going to be – I have a strong feeling this tournament because, remember, this was originally supposed to be the King and Queen, King of the Ring? Okay, you know what I meant. You know what I'm saying. I kind of butchered that. But that, you know, and I read somewhere where they said that, you know, when you find out what – you know, that the reason that they changed the name of the pay-per-view was because of, you know, some plans they had in store. So obviously the plans are the new title, and this is where it's going to be the new champion is going to be crowned. So I would think that there'll likely be at least a tournament with four people involved at least. With the finals being there with, you know, matches beforehand, but remember they're all going to be coming from one brand too,
right?
So
post draft,
which is why I don't think it's going to be like, you know, eight people involved, because then you're getting into like much, you know, post draft you're going to be getting into lower levels. One thing I was mentioned was the one thing I do remember when they first split the roster was that it was actually an opportunity to give one of the two titles to people you wouldn't have expected to hold it. Mm-hmm. Edge, I think, was, you know, Edge, Rey Mysterio, JBL, you know, some of those people that it was like kind of surprise, you know, that you know, and some of them did a good job as champions themselves. So, you know, that's why I do think that, you know, don't sleep on Theory or even Almost, because unless I'm mistaken, because I asked my brother, and he said it sounded different, but I think they gave him new music.
I'm not even sure. I guess it sounded the same to me, but maybe it was altered. I don't know.
I remember there being more horn in it. So like if they did change their more music, he's gonna be around.
So your official pick is Omos is gonna be the new champion.
Yeah, I it's a possibility. I mean, it could be something off the wall like that. Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre is another one that I can see when he comes back. Maybe comes back as a heel and he's gonna be an early champion or. Yeah. If not the first, you know, that sort of thing. I can see somebody like that.
You're hedging already in your bold prediction that Omos will be the inaugural WWE champion.
I was thinking my first thought when I was looking at it, I'm like, huh, Austin Theory. He has a match. He has a triple threat match, which, you know, can be a way that he loses the title without getting pinned.
Uh-huh.
So Austin Theory, plus it validates you and I, Wade. that was my first thought.
Or just inflames the criticism and he fails and because he's prematurely pushed to the top and everyone says, I told you so.
Yeah. You play with fire. Or almost because the just people lose their mind. I mean, human champion, almost, you know, and heavyweight's on the title. So, you know, I'm pulling for almost just for the chaotic nature of it.
And the outrage.
Yeah.
But boy, the Saudis will love it. By the way, Brad, hold on a second, because I want to ask this. Do you think it hurts that the championship's going to be established in Saudi Arabia? Like, is that a stain on the title that will forever be there? Or do you think people are quote, over it, or at least less hostile towards it because it's just sort of baked in and they're used to it?
I think, like, the mass audience, I don't think they're even going to notice. For... you know, our ilk, yeah, I think it's going to have a stain to it.
There was a time where audiences were booing the Saudi Arabia logo, the Crown Jewel logo. I mean, this wasn't just like our listenership. It went way beyond that, at least.
Yeah, but
Jamal Khashoggi murder.
Stuff had happened like recently. And like, I mean, and now I don't even want to discuss the political nature of like the stuff going on right now. Cause everything, you know, the world's going crazy, But I do really think that's going to end up having a stand. I don't think with the casual fan, because I think they'll get over it quickly. But I do think that the thing is that we have longer memories. Is kind of what I'm saying. We have longer memories, which is why, you know, people were booing it like early on. But there was also the whole thing that they were just putting all their they really were pushing it like a big WrestleMania event, and the rest of the stuff on TV was just so bad at that point that the only big matches they were doing were on Saudi Arabia. So I think there was also a level of that too. While now, you know, we are getting good stuff and, you know, things are going well. So I think, you know, that also factored into like the negativity back there too, you know, plus it being fresh in everybody's mind, you know, everything, you know, the events of the Khashoggi's murder. So, you know, now it's been, you know, people forget, people have like short life memory. And so I don't think with the casual audience is going to be that issue, but like it's going to have some level of like, you know, really you're doing it over there. And personally, like for the people who are like, you know, you're really going to give this big moment, because you're essentially starting off essentially a new lineage for a title that's supposed to be like the top guy in your company, and you're not doing it in the U.S.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Brad, back to you.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad that our boy Tom Colohue's not going to see that championship crown because he doesn't watch that show. And I just, again, not to beat a dead horse, but can't see a Saudi Arabia show ending any other way. Reigns holding up three championships. I can't see it ending any other way. And that could have just been a big ruse about a fighting champion and get it off him. And, you know, and he needs to, you know, this needs to be stopped, whatever's going on. And I honestly, can you guys see a Saudi Arabia show ending under any other way than with Roman at the end with the fireworks?
Yeah, yes, I can. Javier?
Okay, cool.
Well, I mean, the question is that, it is an interesting thing because, like, if Roman's going to be there, you would expect him to be the main event, right? And so you're already going to have the crowning your first champion like earlier on the night, or is Roman going to open the show? I mean, you know, that's also a question. I mean, I'm thinking that maybe Roman's not even going to be involved.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know, he's going to start, you know, focusing on the image of, of going there. So that's the other, you know, thing that I was thinking, that maybe he's just not going to be involved at all.
Yeah. I mean, he's got so much money coming in, crazy good money, as he's made pretty clear. So he might just be like, I don't want to go there. Do those shows without me. I mean, he might have the clout to do that. And maybe that's part of why they need a title, because Roman doesn't want to go to Saudi Arabia anymore. And they need to have world titles defended on those shows to keep the Saudis happy. We're sitting here talking about USA Network maybe wanting it. I mean, that's the thing. That's like, there could be factors we don't even know about that are leading to them to plug their nose and do this when there are some, you know, people with strong opinions, you know, pushing against it.
Okay. My last thing is on Bad Bunny and, you know, with him showing up. So first of all, he was advertised for a week, 2 weeks, whatever it was, that he was going to be at this show. And, you know, the whole night we're seeing shots of him that he's in a cab somewhere, or he's, you know, he's driving. I don't know. But once it hits like 10:56 on the East Coast, and, you know, it just felt so anticlimactic that, like, who's going to step in to stop Damian Priest here? Like, it just felt so, I think that's why, like, the crowd wasn't as crazy about what was going on at the end. It just fell very flat to me because you knew that he was coming and you had 3, 4, or 5 minutes left in the show. And, you know, and that's, it just felt stupid to me. Like, I feel like you can announce that he's there and, you know, whatever, maybe he's shown backstage earlier. You don't really know when he's actually going to come out or whatever. I don't know. It just felt very, like, I don't say forced is the right word, but just sort of like anticlimactic because, you know, he's advertised and shoot, when's he going to be there? 10:57 PM, you know? So I don't know. It just felt a little flat to me. And I thought, maybe I just read this somewhere or saw this somewhere on some site or YouTube. I have no idea, but I thought that Bad Bunny versus Priest was already announced that he wasn't going to be the host, that he was going to be in a match. I thought it was announced on SmackDown, but maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, and it was just announced tonight by him.
Bad Bunny said, in case you haven't heard, Javier, do you remember the? If they said it on SmackDown, I don't recall them revealing that.
Yeah, I did. I don't remember.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess they covered for it because Bad Bunny did go. In case you haven't heard, I think the idea that they have you advertise somebody for weeks and he shows up with a minute or two to go in the show is a little too cute by half. I mean, like, just,
yeah,
you know, be there on time. Don't be a big shot who, you know, makes it. And it's just the most convenient time to show up. I mean, it felt contrived, and yeah, I mean, it wasn't ideal. I mean, they wanted to build the moment up, and he got to do a social media thing, filming himself driving and the rival. And I mean, I get why they, the theatrics of it all, but it feels weird to advertise somebody and he gets there barely in time. I was thinking the same thing as I was watching. What'd you think of the announcement and the angle and the whole presentation, Javier?
Yeah, I mean, it did feel contrived. I mean, the whole thing. And once they started showing him, like, driving, I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to do the whole thing that he shows up, you know, they're going to be playing this until he shows up at the end. And yeah, I think that ended up hurting everything that happened in the match because the match felt really cold. And you could tell people were just waiting, you know, looking at the entranceway. I mean, you still would have gotten that whether Bad Bunny was there, you know, all day or not because you know he's going to have to interfere in the match. But, you know, since you announced them, your other choice would have been not to announce them, but obviously they wanted to. But, I mean, you know, it got them where it needed to go. Not ideal, but, you know, it's going to be, you know, I guess it's going to be exciting to see them wrestle, I guess, for some people.
Yeah. All right. Brad, anything else?
Yeah, no, that's it. I just thought he should have come out with Ray, and then, you know, I thought that was would have kind of been a better move and have him kind of save the day at the end rather than the surprise appearance 3 minutes before the show ended. But regardless of that, that was my thoughts, and thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it. Yeah, there's definitely more to the show than the world title being added. That said, Javier, and I will take more calls if we get them. The number is 347-215-8558. If you call push one, we don't have anyone on hold right now, so it'll be a short wait. But that said, I want to get to the emails too and go through some of the people's initial reaction to this. First up, Tyler West said, what else is there to talk about? Who wins the inaugural World Heavyweight Championship? I feel like it damns Cody. If he wins it, it'll feel like a major consolation prize. If he doesn't, is that WWE saying they don't think he can even hold this new world title? If Cody gets drafted to the brand with a World Heavyweight Championship, he can't not win it, right? Hunter's announcement basically said Roman isn't losing for a long time. So if Cody gets drafted to Roman's brand, that's not great either. I hate to be pessimistic because I'm pretty intrigued where all this goes, but this could have been avoided by, you know, Cody simply beating Roman at WrestleMania. What do you think? Javier, your thoughts on what Tyler had to say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in retrospect, I am liking that I see the Cody winning a lot more. But yeah, I mean, it's not ideal.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything on there? Because I was just thinking about the whole WrestleMania thing. It was like, I do feel a lot better about, you know, that idea.
Yeah. Well, just the idea that Roman's not going to lose for a long time, yeah. And then Cody has to win it if he's on Roman's brand. But then if he wins it and it's not on Roman's brand, it feels like a consolation title. I mean,
yeah,
I'm on the same page as Tyler in that respect. That's what it. like, there's a lot to think through, and I just don't know if they've accounted for everything, or maybe they have, and they're just willing to live with the consequences. It's pros and cons on each side of the ledger.
Well, the fact that it does feel like it's going to feel like a consolation title for whoever holds it, which is why I immediately thought of Drew McIntyre, because at this point, here's your Rolex watch. You have the contract situation with him too. That's why my thoughts went for someone like a Theory or an Almost, because I wasn't kidding about Almost, I was thinking about, for that reason, because it's going to feel like consolation prize anyway. Let's put it on someone that might surprise you.
And what do you, who is that? Omos?
Well, Omos or Theory or yes. Maybe Gunther or somebody, somebody like that you're not, maybe a call up. And that would be interesting. A call up that shows up and wins the title. That would be a good way to, catapult them.
CM Punk showing up backstage. Maybe Triple H said, hey, let's quickly create a title for Punk.
The thought was not far from my mind when I found out that Punk was backstage. So I, when he came, I was like, we signed Punk.
I wonder if Tony Khan is like, Punk made himself, he looks like a hot free agent, and now we're signing him because he showed up to want to talk to Levesque. I don't know. That's a weird story. And like I said, I don't want to say a lot about it until I hear a little more about it, but
when you called me before we started the thing, I wanted to get something off my chest, wasn't able to because it had an expletive in it. So bleeping Punk. That's what I wanted to say. I wanted to get that off. I really wanted to say the word, but
All right. Zach in Texas says, let me start by saying, I told you so. I said it was a huge mistake last year when they put both titles on Roman. I don't know why that's an I told you so, Zach. reacting to a good situation with a wrong follow-up does not mean the original good situation was wrong. But, all right, sure, there was only one champion, which was a positive, but Raw was effectively stranded without a title because Roman rarely appeared on the show. They put both belts on him with no plan to have him consistently bounce back and forth between shows defending the title. Now, instead of having him drop the title at Mania and trying to implement that plan with Cody, they are introducing a third world title. So if, and that's a big if, Roman ever loses his titles, it's going to mean less, and whoever wins this title, it's going to automatically be less than Roman. Also, does Roman even acknowledge this new title? Can he without everything falling apart? Todd Martin's going to have a field day with this one. Does Roman acknowledge this?
I wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, that makes perfect sense that he wouldn't. And I mean, you could do the story. I mean, that's actually a way to sort of salvage it. Cody at some point wins the heavyweight title. Roman does not acknowledge that title, and then Cody has to beat Roman in order for him to acknowledge it. Unfortunately, the problem is it's not going to be in a title versus title match, and just like, Survivor Series kind of thing of like, see who's the better champion. But yeah, which again, not ideal. I don't see this being ideal at all.
All right. Up next, Fong says, I just wanted your thoughts on the plans with the new heavyweight championship. How are they going to explain Roman having two belts, or does he have to drop one? I'm a fan of having two top titles and two tag team titles, but I'm confused on why they don't just do it the correct way by having him lose one on a pay-per-view instead. Is that a better solution, or does that interrupt the sense of invulnerability in the length of the streak if one of the belts is stripped off of Roman? Is he still a 1,000-day champion? Is there an asterisk? Does it weaken Roman to have him lose even if it is just for one title? Because basically now his most recent defense until there's another one was a loss. And so the person who beat him would be seen as the more dominant champion. And that would completely undercut Reigns unless, again, there's a lot of ways you can book finishes to matches to try to protect someone. But then the person who beats him doesn't seem like they gained anything if it's tainted. But if it's not tainted, then Roman loses a lot of that mystique. So I mean, it's like I said, I don't think there's a good solution. if they're to all the negatives, if they were just committed to having a world title on both brands. And going full circle, the best solution is a very sharp brand split, but then they got to address the tag team title situation too. Javier?
Well, I mean, ultimately, whoever, someone's going to beat him and is going to get the rub, essentially. So the question's always been, who do you think is, and whoever does it is going to be essentially your next John Cena, your next Stone Cold. Ideally, who that would be is who's going to take the WWE to the next generation, or like, you know, the next, like, you know, couple years, you know, five, 10 years, you know, and I'm ignoring ages because I'm horrible at that. Plus, you know, wrestlers wrestle until like they're like 900 now. So, you know, still. So like, you know, is that Cody? Is Cody going to be your guy for the foreseeable future? The guy who's going to be in there day in, day out. I thought it was McIntyre earlier. Obviously, they didn't go that way. You know, now you had a chance with Cody. And I still think that Cody might be that guy. But now by putting in this title, you've complicated things. You know, it's just, I don't know. I would have preferred for them to basically have done a thing where like one of the callers said, you know, Money in the Bank is only for one title, or, you know, when, or Cody even says, look, I don't want the universe. I just want this one. Yeah. You beat Roman Reigns. He loses a little bit of the shine. You know, but you're giving it to, hey, this is the guy that beat him. And then, you know, and then so, and then you separate the two, and then, you know, Roman can, you know, build up and use that as an impetus. Like, oh, I lost one of my titles, and he becomes like an even greater despot to the people around them. So there were things that you can do. It just felt like this is the worst way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, this, I mean, if you're hell bent in separating the titles, I think this is probably, you know, the second worst way would be just, oh, we're splitting the brands. Roman's going to have one title. Somebody else is going to wrestle for the other one. But explaining it that we're separating the brands and Roman's going to have one title because he doesn't defend it and he's disrespecting you. And, you know, he's such a lazy bump.
But I do the same thing.
I do the same thing.
Can't ignore that.
And I'm like, so would you. I'm like, yeah, hey, you know what? You're getting paid for it. Why not? And then it makes the company look bad because the manager is the one who agreed to it.
Yeah.
So it's just, I just hate this. Why? The good news is I was worried that with the draft coming up next week that I thought this was going to be just like a nothing Raw.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. There's a lot more to talk about in the lead up to the draft because now you have, you know, like, do they reveal which brand Roman is on early? And if they do, then then every wrestler that gets drafted to Roman's brand is now off the table for winning the Night of Champions tournament to become the new WWE champ. So every pick in the draft ends up meaning more too.
Yeah. I'm thinking Roman stays on SmackDown. that's just.
I do too. I do too.
Roman stays on SmackDown. AJ Styles is on Raw right now, right?
Oh, don't start quizzing me on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have a whole roster like list on my computer that I reference, and I stopped updating it because it doesn't matter. I'm just waiting for the new draft to sort it out. Because I mean, like I'm not trying to be like, dismissive about otherwise legitimate question, but it just doesn't matter because everyone's going to get redrafted, and I don't even know if WWE even knows anymore. Like, I think when they put their shows together and do travel plans and book people, they're not even thinking about who's on what brand anymore. They're just like, we just need to load the shows up till the draft.
The only reason I feel AJ Styles staying on Raw is because he had family issues where he did not want to be on SmackDown. That's the only reason. Because part of his deal was, you know, I want to see my kids grow up and go and watch them play football or whatever.
Or
baseball or something. And he said, I'm not going to do SmackDown, which is why they moved him over to Raw. That's the only reason. I'm like, I'm sure. And then when there was like a draft, he stayed on Raw. I'm like, the only thing I'm sure is Roman goes to SmackDown because it's Fox. And AJ Styles stays on SmackDown so he can watch his kids play games.
There you go. Yep. I mean, it is hard to imagine Roman not being on the show that's watched by, you know, a much bigger audience. All right. Hector from Chicago says, I'm at work and I have a Raw recording on Sling, but I did see that Triple H unveiled a new title belt. So I went and ended up watching that segment. I like the new title. I like that they will have a champion for both brands if they will be doing a hard split. Though you can have one champ float across both brands, USA and Fox probably each want a champ. Though I like it, something about the timing just hits wrong for me. I just feel like it should have happened after Roman finally lost. Had Cody won and then this happened, awesome. Well, maybe. There might be some Cody fans upset if he ended up had a weaker title that it was instantly weakened. However, Roman still being champ kind of makes me feel like this eventual loss loses some luster, you know? Maybe I'm the only one feeling this way. I don't know. Especially if Cody's the one who wins a new title. Something about that just won't sit right with me. I'll be happy for him, but it just won't hit the same way as him winning against Roman. Well, for sure. So hopefully Cody and Roman end up on the same brand, but I don't think that's happening either. They will be the first pick for each brand, I'm assuming. See, that's the interesting thing, too, Javier, is how do they portray this draft, and do they reveal who was picked in what order, or is this more of a boop, 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 like, you know, random things, like we're going to – the draft took place, and now we're going to randomly reveal who was in it to avoid hard feelings or establishing who was ranked ahead of others. Yeah, so there's all – I mean, this is – there's so many factors here, but, I mean, I don't think Hector is at all alone. Even close to it, when saying that that it won't sit right if Cody wins a belt that they just created out of whole cloth, and that's what, I think they're cognizant of that. I mean, I think having Seth win it or someone else, I'm not going to go on your Omos theory, Javier. That's going to be all yours. You're going to live that down. But yeah, whatever they do, I don't know. Maybe Brock wins it. And he negotiates a part-time schedule, and then they have to create another title belt. I don't know.
Here's my genius way. I went so far on a limb that if I fall and crash, they're like, hey, well, what do you expect? And if I guessed right, then, you know, I'm a genius. So.
Yes. Well, I think Dennis Kucinich is going to make a comeback and become the president of the United States. Let's see what happens. I don't know where his name came from in my head.
So sorry, you were saying.
Oh, I don't even know. I just said Dennis Kucinich, so the whole show's off the rails. Let's see. I'm looking at his email. See, yeah, I mean, if Cody doesn't end up on the same brand as Roman, then he can't get the match against Roman until he wins the Royal Rumble again and chooses to face Roman, barring a trade or something else that doesn't really follow the structure that WWE is setting forth. So that's going to be real telling, because this might be, in effect, a way to delay Cody getting a rematch, even though, you know, Roman, you know, cheated pretty badly in his victory over Cody, and Cody, you know, ought to get a rematch, you know, based on that principle alone.
Well, I mean, and you could always play off the fact that Paul Heyman manipulated events so that Cody and Roman are an opposite brand, so they wouldn't meet.
Yeah.
You know, because you build on that. And that's the thing. I do agree with what everyone was saying, that it feels like consolation prize if Cody wins it.
Yep.
I think he'll go after it, but like continuously run into roadblocks, which makes me think that whatever brand he's on are going to get like the Lashleys, the Almoses, the ones that he would have to, the Bronson Reeds, you know, the heavier hitters, I think are going to end up whatever, brand he's in to act as, you know, the foils keeping him from the title until that title's built some, you know, at least a little bit of cachet.
Yeah. All right. Nick from Brattleboro, Vermont. We haven't heard from him in a while. Nick, call us. Hi, gentlemen. One question. How is this championship different from the WWE World Championship that Roman won from Lesnar to merge the titles? Does adding the word heavyweight really make it any different? Okay, two questions. This is just a stupid move to get out of a problem of their own creation. That's about it. Be well. Thank you. Yeah, there's all kinds. I mean, I just don't like the break in the lineage and the arbitrary start of lineage. I'm a fan of lineage. I mean, if I had my way, the title belt would still be the one Bruno wore. I mean, like, or at least the one Brett wore. Like, I want that. They don't change the Stanley Cup every 3 to 6 years so they can sell more replicas at the whatever store, the souvenir shops and concession, the what's the word, merchandise stands at hockey games. I mean, that's just dumb. That's short-sighted. But that's a whole other topic, and I'm probably pretty alone on that because people like refreshed belts. But the name of the title. I mean, I asked, does Roman's title change? Do they call him the Undisputed Champ, or does he just become the Universal Champion again? And do they strip away the undisputed and unified aspects of it, which I think they ought to.
Yeah, I think they should for sure drop the undisputed, because now you have two equal champions in theory. So,
yeah. Yeah. All right. Azan says, hello, Wayne and Javier. Isn't it funny how Triple H is the one bringing back the World Heavyweight Championship when back in 2002, Eric Bischoff was the one who made him the world champ for Raw? Hey, at least Triple H didn't walk out and just christen someone the new champion. Like, we have decided he is the champion, and we're giving him the title. With, I mean, they could have done it with Cody if they wanted to, you know, if they said Roman and Heyman have maneuvered out of a title rematch, and now, and as a result, we believe Cody, because he won the Rumble and was cheated out of the match at WrestleMania, as a champion. But boy, would that be as flat of a way to become champion as is humanly possible. That'd be sabotaging Cody. But yeah, I mean, having Triple H stand in the ring for this announcement, I mean, he had to be self-aware of the memories it was bringing back with the Bischoff announcement, 21 years ago.
Well, I mean, you could make it work. If you had given it to Cody and then Cody goes all Homelander, you know, and becomes like, he could have become one of the greatest heels, you know, but it just as an insult. I mean, it was a different kind of insult when that happened and they gave Triple H the title. That was a completely different kind of insult. I think that was, you know, but this one would be like, you know, they could have made it work, is what I'm saying. But yeah,
yeah.
That is funny.
All right. He's got a non-title question here, or as we call it, what was the euphemism for a non-title match? Championship contenders match? Was that it?
Yeah, championships contenders match.
Yeah, so this is a championship contenders question, a non-title question. Do you think WWE can use Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, and Mustafa Ali better after the draft? Cedric and Shelton are just going to be jobbers to the stars. They're going to be thrown out there to lose quickly. We're going to have little hope. You know, fans of theirs are going to be given little reasons to hope that maybe they're going to do something with them. But really, they are so damaged. And, you know, Corey Graves saying on commentary tonight, Mustafa Ali is on the cusp, constantly on the cusp of greatness. It's like, yeah, but he's been defined down also. He's talented, but this is a mid-card gimmick that I assume there's an aspect of just trying to make fun of him for something he said with a straight face, and now we're going to make that your heel gimmick. But no, will they be used better? I think Mustafa will be used the same way, and I think Cedric and Shelton will be used the same way after the draft. I don't think the draft is going to suddenly move them up the depth chart in a significant way. Over here.
Yeah, I mean, define better, because, I mean, now what they've done is basically have a tier of wrestlers, and these are people who could put on good matches, and, you know, he's in the same. One of the most underrated characters in the WWE right now is Gable, because he's put on incredibly entertaining matches. He's above a bunch of jokes. He's never won a match, but we enjoy it, watching him.
Yep.
You know, so if you get the same thing out of Ali, that is a plus. You know, anybody could get, you know, you could convert a Baron Corbin into something like that. You know. If you're not going to, you know, push them any higher, I mean, they serve a role. They're people who, you need people on the roster that serves that role, which is, you know, one of the problems that WWE found themselves. They basically fired all those people and you had no depth. So, you know, this allows people to, you know, this allows someone, let's say draft someone from NXT, someone that people don't know. They start wrestling Mustafa Ali, and gets into a feud with him, and he beats him, and he moves up to the next person. He moves on to the next person until he gets, you know, you create more tiers, and you get the people, you know, that's like, you know, how you get behind people as they're coming in. So, so I think it's a very important role. And, you know, Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander are a little bit different, because they haven't been on TV too much. But, you know, Mustafa Ali has been on TV a lot. So,
yeah. All right, his third question, can you make a case for Seth Rollins being the one to finally beat Roman if it's not Cody, Sami Zayn, or Jey Uso? Sure, yeah. I mean, I don't think that's outlandish, outrageous, out something else, copyright Paul Heyman, to imagine Seth being the one to unseat him. I think fans would pop for it, and they like Seth. There's a history with them, obviously, with the Shield, and, you know, but I mean – the way that they would they be so heavy-handed as to just give away this is a title created for Seth, given that his mission is like to be a fighting champion? I mean, he basically gave his you know valedictorian acceptance speech hybrid here by talking about how this title will mean more when he wins it. Would they be that obvious about it at this point? And then I don't know what that does long term. You know, I mean, if Roman holds the belt for another year, they can do another draft, and Seth might not be champion anymore, and then Seth can win the Rumble and beat him in 2025. I mean, there's ways you can go about that. I don't think Sammy is so red hot right now, post Montreal, that you can't look at the lay of the land and go maybe there's other directions to go in than the feelings people had pre WrestleMania about Sammy. Javier, your thoughts?
I think Seth Rollins ends up being Roman's SummerSlam opponent. Not going to win it, but yeah. I think that's the most likely scenario for him.
By the way, where do you think Sammy and Jay is going? I mean, because that is relevant to this question. If Jay does a full-fledged breakup and then challenges or gets a match against Roman, is that a timetable that could play out by SummerSlam? Or with things going on with Sammy and Jay, is this actually kind of laying the groundwork for another big angle where, you know, Jay and Jimmy just ultimately side with Roman again and they beat down Sammy, and then that leads to Sammy getting a match against Roman again, and they try to get one more out of it and they save Cody for another time, or maybe Cody's the champion on the other show?
Yeah, I do think there might be, it might end up being that might be end up being the match in Saudi Arabia if Roman is in it, because that would not be like the top, you know, kind of thing, or have them being some sort of tag team. But yeah, the problem with the stuff's gone with Jay and Sammy is that it felt like they pulled back on them furthering the story of the dissolution of the bloodline. It felt like that was pulled back a bit, but then it felt like it was accelerated again today.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I got to see what happens on SmackDown. You know what I mean? That's kind of where we're at. Cause that's the thing. Like what I really liked is the question that was posed is, you know, what is Roman going to think if you lose now that you have, you know, declared that this match is going to be in the honor of Roman Reigns. So now that you brought his name into it, what's going to happen if you lose? And that's a question. So like, you know, do they win if you're going to have that title defended in Saudi Arabia since Sammy can't go? You know, do the Usos win? Mm. You know, and then that makes things all better with Roman, and then Jay just continues sulking. You know, that's one, you know, one way, but, you know, that's, you know, a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
Right now.
All right, so another question about the title, but a different aspect of it. This is Chris, who says, with a new ugly world title that looks like Big Gold and Gunther's IC title had too much to drink together one night, where does this leave Roman? Is he still the world universal champion of the galaxy? Does he still carry two titles? If it's just a WWE title, why make a new one? Does Roman get a new title? All that said, why is the internet saying the winner is a consolation prize? Had Cody won and they did this, would we feel the same? Thanks in advance. What do you think about the design of the new belt? Does it look like the Big Gold belt and Gunther's IC title are too much to drink together one night?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I love it, because I was thinking like Gunther's title. It is better than the IWGP World Heavyweight title. I will say that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, you know, not a big bar to clear, but, you know, if you clear it, you're okay with me. I like it. I don't think it's, you know, a little bit on the gaudy side, but, yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's always my. I think I need to get a better look at it.
Yeah.
You know, see it a little bit more. But I mean, my first reaction was it looks prestigious and good and differentiated. But yeah,
I do like it that it's in the style of Gunther's, because his is like it's a really different style, and I do like it. You know, because I do like have the titles having like something that's like similar to each other when they're part of the same era. I don't like it when they're like really like, you know, completely different designs. You know, so, and I'm also expecting that Roman gets a new design too.
That's the thing. Yeah. Cause that gets to, Chris. Yeah. Chris's question do they give Roman one single belt? And I think they have to now. I mean, how it just, that'd be weird if he's carrying around two belts with him too. But I hope they thought of that, and then I hope they have a cool belt that, like, well, you said, it's differentiated but matches the era too. Or do they just take one of them away?
Well, with Roman specifically, you can make more money out of it and give them a personalized belt.
I do not like personalized belts.
Yeah, I know. I don't love them either. But you know, the 1,000 day man, you know, or something like that. But oh my god, I'm just picturing like a big 1,000 and like diamonds on the thing. No. Let's move on.
Yeah. All right. happy to do so. I'm just seeing if we covered what he said here. Oh yeah. So Roman, Cody. If Cody won and they did this, would we feel the same? Yeah, let's play that out. Cody beats Roman, walks around with two title belts. Well, you can't have the same rationalization for the belt then. You know what I mean? They'd have to have a completely different explanation for it. So it's hard to judge because, you know, what would that explanation be is a big part of how we'd react to it.
Well, it was the simple explanation they should have gone to. The champion's going to be on one brand. We're going to need a champion for the other brand, and that's it. That's all you had to say.
Yeah.
Everything else is superfluous. There was no reason for it.
I know. I think they were trying to create – I think my inclination is to think that they thought there would be a backlash among some, and so we need to babyface this title. We need to make it a babyface title. It's going to be a title that's defended more often. It's not going to have a champion who negotiates, part-time status. And that, I think, but again, you know, does that damage Roman? I don't know. Does Roman care at this point? I assume he does.
Like on social media stuff, there are people who have already been talking about Roman Reigns being a part-time. And when I was thinking about Drew McIntyre and Cody winning, it was with the eye that, hey, he's a part-timer. And he's probably going to, as time goes on, become more and more a part-timer. You know, so, you know, so he's just like, you know, WrestleMania and SummerSlam. So, you know, that's why I'm thinking that who's going to be the next guy, because Roman's time is coming up. So, you know, that's the lens I've been looking at things, things through. So it's just, I lost my train of thought and it was just like, it's late. So, but yeah, I the whole thing is just like, run me back. The question.
I in my mind, I moved on to the next question.
Okay.
So let's just do that. We've covered this. This is totally separate, but also it had to do with Cody. And if they'd changed the explanation, by the way, you know, if Cody won, they'd change the rationalization for it. But go ahead.
Yeah. And I think it would have been the same. It would have been like, okay, well, depending on who wins it next, it'll probably feel a lot less because Cody just already dethroned the big bad. The problem is that, you know, he would have gotten essentially the equity built in Roman Reigns by beating Roman Reigns. He would have gotten it. And then at that point, you know, you're just creating a new title. I mean, the new title would have to, you know, be built up based on whoever wins it and who, you know, who's involved in the storyline, and you could build up that title, make it important. But I think it would feel different if had Cody won the big title. But you would have to take Roman Reigns. At that point, you would have to take Roman Reigns out of the picture.
Okay. Darren says, quick question. Did they write too many scripts for Seth Rollins so they just gave them to Mustafa Ali because he was straight up being Seth in that backstage segment with Alpha Academy? Did that seem like gimmick infringement? How Ali was acting backstage all dressed up and acting all hyper?
No, I got a. You probably know his name. It's not Charlie Chaplin, but there was a guy with a mustache that had a cigar.
Groucho Marx.
Groucho Marx. I got a. Yeah. I don't know why I got a Groucho Marx feel from that. Kind of same ballpark zaniness, but it did, but different enough.
Did it give you a Johnny Fairplay vibe?
No, it felt cartoonish. I kind of felt like if you were to leave the screen, his head would stay there and like his body would leave the screen. You know,
wow.
It felt really like Warner Brothers cartoonish. And since Warner Brothers has been a little bit interested in WWE, maybe, you know, I don't know.
All right, let's hit a couple topics.
I do have to say, I got way too much of a kick out of positive Ali. I got way too much of a kick out of that.
I think he introduced it like last week, or that's at least the first time I noticed. And yeah, I still have a policy about, I don't know, does that count as a pun or is that just a play on words? I don't know.
It's more of a play on words. Well, no, because yeah. Because positive, yeah, I think it also hits pun territory too.
Yeah. All right. So you make anything or what are your thoughts on what they did with Bianca and damage control? And that leading to a six-woman tag match where Bayley took the fall. Any thoughts on that segment?
Well, I mean, I don't like the fact whenever your champion's not what the lead story is of the program. The lead story of the program is Bayley and damage control breaking apart, and
yeah.
Bianca Belair's just along for the ride. So I think that diminishes Belair. But at this point, it's kind of like I personally am hoping Io wins it and then – kicks Bayley out of the group and maybe brings in someone from NXT to join the group and rebuild it as a more like dangerous faction, or bring in Asuka. I mean, you know, Rousey is with Baszler, so bring in someone dangerous into the group along with her. So,
how about the build to the three-way for the U.S. title? Austin Theory and Lashley going at it. Bronson Reed coming in, working with Austin Theory, but then also attacking him to show there will be no friends in this match. Lashley back to smiling and slapping hands with fans on his way to the ring. His character's been all over the place. Fans still have an inclination to cheer for him, but he feels greatly diminished. He walked right past the new world title belt. But, you know, I think he'll be in the conversation, you know, just among mainstream fans as someone who might be in contention to win the title. And if he's not on the, if he's on the correct brand, I could see him being in the tournament. And, but he says, you have my title. He said that's a theory about the U.S. title. So, you know, maybe they're going to keep him in the U.S. title realm. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I did like, just controlled some of the crowd when they started, you know, you suck. And he's like, well, I'll be Cena. See, he's got that he can mm-hmm. rely on, you know, so that stuff. And I really liked the, when he hit, Lashley with the, well, you know, if you can make matches, why weren't you on WrestleMania? And, you know, looked like a sore spot and like Lashley couldn't like respond. He's like, I'm just going to just destroy you now. So I like the interaction. This is more than I, you know, normally would like, you know, between them, but yeah, I mean, it could, you know, it's the theory match. You got two people that he doesn't look like he should beat, and he's going to get away with it, you know. So I kind of like that because, you know, he's going to scheme his way out of it. But one of the things that's been interesting in the last bunch of theory promos, and you know, also with John Cena's, is that they all been telling him, hey, you've got talent, you're just not putting it together, you know, you're too lazy, you're not doing this. And then like he when he's taking it, he looks introspective mm-hmm. and then like fires back. It almost feels like they might be setting up for like at some point maybe a you know, when he does get it put all together, be more of more as a baby face when he's like, you know, realizes that, you know, he's a schmuck, and then like you know, puts it all together. So it seems like they're heading in some sort of direction with him.
How about the Trish Stratus promo? I alluded to it earlier. You know, why hasn't Becky been around? Because she heard Becky isn't dealing well with the pressure of being a mother and a wrestler. She's going to crumble under the pressure. I took her out of her misery. She should be saying thank you, Trish. What's your take on that and what it means?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of like amazed by the fact that I've seen Trish Stratus face promos and she seems so uncomfortable, but she felt so comfortable,
yeah.
you know, on the two heel promos that she cut.
Yep.
So
yep.
it was like night and day. I mean, it was like, you know, one's like totally uncomfortable. I think it might be since like her face is close to her real personality, because I know Bliss has talked about that. Alexa Bliss has talked about that her last run wasn't working because the character she was playing was too close to herself, and she likes it when she's playing more outlandish, you know, kind of characters like either the goddess or, you know, the stuff she was doing with Bray Wyatt. I think Trish Stratus is the same, where if she could just be despicable and evil, I think she relishes more the title. And I understand what, you know, because I know Todd talks about like, well, you know, people want to cheer her, but she's just a much better performer as the heel. So you know, the stuff that she said was like, you know, because I think the idea is that what she was saying about Becky, stuff that Becky told her in confidence. I don't think it's that she was making something up. That sounded like it was stuff that Becky told her in confidence. So I'm really interested. I'm a lot, because I had heard spoilers that this is the direction that they were going to go a while ago. And, you know, so I hadn't brought it up on the show because, you know, I agree with you. I don't like giving spoilers if, you know, if it's not, like, obviously wildly available. You know, so I had heard that that was, like, kind of the direction that was Trish and Becky. And I'm like, I don't see this working. But, like, between the promo that she, you know, the reason that she gave, and, like, I can see her believing that, you know, hey, I worked my ass off to be taken seriously as a wrestler. You know, and, you know, in the matches that she had against Lita, and, you know, so she, you know, that it was that, you know, she was a part of the first step in the women's evolution, yet Becky and the other women that came after is the one taking all the credit. And the fact that she felt hurt by that, I dig her reasoning, and I dig her, you know, her performances, and it's going to be interesting. Last time she wrestled in the ring was a little bit, but, you know, let's see what happens when the actual match finally happens. I'm looking forward to it more than I thought it was.
So we complain about Bad Bunny being late to arrive, cutting it pretty close. What do you think of the angle? How did Bad Bunny perform? What do you think of it being one-on-one? You know, we had thought there's going to be some sort of group, you know, match two or three against two or three, you know, 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 is an easier way to put it. What do you think of this, and how big of a deal is it going to be from a crossover, bringing new fans into it, or having, you know, have people who take or leave WWE going, I got to see this?
Well, I mean, considering my mom mentioned Bad Bunny not too long ago, it and like something about her in wrestling, it made the waves. So it got to her. You know, it's not for me, really. You know, it's not. I'm not. But like, I could see the, you know, some people being like intrigued, excited, and particularly this is happening in Puerto Rico. So, it is. You know, it's a hot for a certain, you know, segment. It's just not necessary for me. I mean, I'm fine with it. Because the fact that they played off on their previous history, Damian Priest and, you know, and Bad Bunny having tag team, you know, so it's a long running story of their relationship and how they tied that into the Mysterio drama also, and the Judgment Day drama. So I like the fact that the Judgment Day is almost more like a thing that things happen around it, which, whether you like the Judgment Day or not, is a way to create stories that aren't basically watching the same match over and over again and figuring out who's, you know, how you're going to get out of the match. You know, the fact that you have, like, you know, this feud was spawned off because Bad Bunny helped Mysterio against his son, but they're kind of sidelined while this feud is going on. So this whole thing keeps getting, you know, it's a good stew, basically, is what I'm trying to get at. It's a good stew of stuff. So, and while I'm more interested in seeing Dominic and his father, you know, continue doing their thing, this is a nice side thing that they're doing too, and it's going to be, you know, a spectacle.
The crowd heat for this is just going to be so amazing. I mean,
oh yeah,
like, just set aside every. It's going to be like, you know, Punk at his peak in Chicago, Sami Zayn in Montreal. Like, it's going to be, in Puerto Rico has a history with its wrestling fans. I hope they, I would love for it to be like at an outdoor stadium with a ring in the middle of a field, and the fans are just storming, you know, like I'm just thinking of the old Carlos Colon, like Abdullah the Butcher stuff from back in the '80s. And I mean, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be like an intensity and a passion among those fans.
I hope security is ready. That's the one thing I want to bring up. I want to bring up that I hope security is, you know, they know what they're getting into. Although I'm expecting a lot of happy endings for that reason.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yes. What do you think, by the way, of Damian Priest taking more of a leadership role? You had Balor, you know, I mean, not that Balor's like just subservient, but he did the job to Cody. You know, he was like, am I invisible? Damian has taken on this more kind of calm, cool alpha leader persona. I know originally Judgment Day was all equals, but have you picked up on the idea that they're trying to, you know, feature Priest as more of an alpha? And I assume that's in part because they wanted him to seem like a bigger deal heading into this match.
Well, that's part of it, but I think they've also – it wasn't just lip service when they said that this is a group of equals, because they've each taken the leadership role at different times. So Balor was firmly in control when it was the Edge feud. Rhea Ripley's been firmly in control when it's been, you know, stuff with that she's been involved in, you know, a lot with Dominic, with eventually Dominic taking control, you know, completely over that storyline while Rhea's now doing the champion thing. And, you know, and Priest was the only one who hadn't had his turn at bat, you know, being there more as a supporting for the rest of the cast. And it's just his turn at bat. So, you know, I'm fine with it. And I think he's doing a good job. I've known him since the Ring of Honor. So I do like the little nod to his history where they, call him, the Punisher of the punishment of the Judgment Day. Cause people did not know his, wrestling name was Punishment Martinez when he was in Ring of Honor. And independence. So the fact that they call him the punishment, it's a nice little throwback to the people who know his history.
Yeah. What did Corey Graves bring up? It was just in the Legado del Fantasma match. He's talking about his history with I'm drawing a blank on Joaquin Love. Yeah, I talked about working with him in the indie scene. And so, yeah, it was just something I hadn't recalled Graves talking about knowing him for decades and putting him over like that. By the way, what do you think of the use of LWO this week and having, you know, just the Usos and Solo kind of plow through them? I thought that diminished their you know, what I don't know that they had a mystique, but we want clean finishes, but it sort of felt like a match is thrown out there. And I know Vince McMahon is, you know, meddling a little bit more on some shows than others. He's not, you know, just destroying things and showing up in person. But he's definitely, you know, giving his input on the submitted scripts. And so, you know, sometimes when something just feels undeveloped, you wonder if that's just him, you know, flexing a little, going, I'm still here and I still have power, and keep that in mind. And like, that was just one of those matches where it wasn't quite like the, you know, when NXT people were brought up by Vince and he would just throw them on TV in a match that completely completely contradicted the TV storylines in NXT. It didn't feel that way, but it kind of jumped out to me, like, why aren't they protecting him a little more, or does Cruz del Toro not count if he loses?
I think Cruz del Toro does not count, but yeah, I can't throw the blame on Vince, because it's ever since they got called up as Legado Fantasma, they're in the same kind of like enhancement talent kind of role, you know, the, you know, stepping stone, gatekeeper, whatever you want to call it, kind of role, you know, the group that takes losses, with Del Toro being the real low man on that group, and which to me is a shame, because I really liked, you know, as a worker, I liked Santos Escobar when he was Hijo de Fantasma, I did really like the gang war thing that they were doing between Legado and Hit Row when they were in NXT. You know, that it was, you know, these two squads that, like, you know really were like fighting over turf kind of thing. I liked it, and you know, with Santos having the mafioso kind of vibe to him, I dug it. I think they turned him a little bit too much into a fanboy. And my question is, like, I mean, if you're going to bring back the LWO, and I mean, and you saw the number of like shirts that were in the audience, you know, you bring back the LWO, you would think you would give them a little bit more, but looks like no. It looks like they're just going to be there to eat losses for Ray.
Anything else in your notes, Javier, to cover from Raw tonight?
I felt like a power play of Cody Rhodes taking off his shirt and like taking a sweet ass time. He looked like he was having trouble taking it off. But you know, it did feel like, you know, the crowds, you know, making the crowd wait kind of thing, made him feel like a bigger shot. the we talked about Bianca Belair, we talked about the Trish, we talked about Cedric. I think that was about it, right? Covered everything, didn't we?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, there was the, we got Rick Boogs and Elias, and they were just talking about, you know, I did find that segment a little bit silly.
Oh, yeah.
Where they got them all together to try to explain to Rick Boogs what the draft was.
Yes. And I love that he got out the, what is that, flex bar thing so he could start. And he's like, okay, now I'm calm, because he's like letting out all this energy. The release valve is him doing that, bending that thing. The Mongolian Stomper back in the 80s did that. He would come out on promos and he'd be bending that thing. With Boogs, it's just like that's his release valve of all the pressure that builds up inside of him. And if he doesn't do that, then he like would explode or at least not be able to keep his train of thought. I am getting more of a kick out of Boogs' character than I really think I should admit.
Yeah, I mean, and the good thing is that these are just short segments. It's not like you're – because, I mean, one of the problems, like, during this segment, that would have been a 15-minute segment. You're like, when is this over? You know, it's as long as it needs to be. So that I like that. So the one disappointment was the Gable and Mustafa Ali match. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, this might be fun. But it was short, so – I was hoping to see what they could really do, but yeah.
All right, cool. Javier, anything you want to plug?
No, I mean, you still need a correspondent for Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, so because I'm going to be at the Broward show, the Sunrise show, so AEW, so I'll call in.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Well, this is fun.
Nothing specific to plug, just, you know, I do the primers and the – when's the G1? Because that's got to be coming up at some point.
Yes. Yep.
Dreading that moment. I do have to catch up because I haven't watched in a while. But yeah. So so not much. Just
all right. Cool.
Tired, late.
Well, Well, good conversation. They gave us certainly a big talking point we weren't anticipating heading into the post show tonight. So that was good.
I was worried. Legitimately, I was like, man, because I checked. Very rarely do I not check my watch during Raw because of the length of it. Because at some point I'm like, you know, it's got to be coming to an end, right? When I check it at 9, it's a really dull show. So by that point, you know, not much had happened. But then, you know, after that, things picked up. So. But yeah, it was much better than I thought, because my line was good to start would be like, you know, the show felt like I couldn't watch it because of all the smoke because it was spinning its tires, because that's what it felt like for the first half of the show. It picked up like about halfway.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks, Javier. Thanks to our callers, our emailers, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow on the flagship, actually, with Jason Powell. So email us, WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. We'll talk to Jason about the new title belt, the draft, everything going on with CM Punk, I'm hearing some things as the show is going on that make the story even kind of crazier.
I do have to ask, do you think Tony Khan is livid or like, okay, whatever? Where do you think, based on like what you know of Tony Khan?
I've been actually asking people during the show that, and I don't know, but yeah, I want to gather my thoughts before I speak on this, because the information I'm getting, there's some a bit of an interesting twist that goes beyond Punk just showing up at the arena and surprising people. There's something else going on.
Oh, fun.
and I don't know what to make of it yet. So therefore, the people I'm communicating with, there's different realms of speculation about Tony either being, in on it and cool with it, or it's going to totally blow things up. And I don't know yet. So give me a chance to source this more and process it now. Maybe by tomorrow I'll know more.
Freaking Punk, man. I hope it's something he's in cahoots, because then that would be insane if he's not. I he's too exhausting for me, Wade. I don't like Punk. He's too exhausting.
you would be pleased, Javier. You'll be pleased that if I tell you that a text I just got from a prominent AEW person might have included some more salty language, but it included the word exhausting when it came to CM Punk. So we're on the same page. That is hilarious.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right, so talk to you Wednesday.
That's a reward for people listening to the end. Teasers and some laughs. All right. Thanks, everybody. Yep, thanks, everybody.
Good night.